Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Think about what is the most important thing in life. Now, many people might say that love is the most important thing in life, or family is the most important thing in life. And certainly those are very important things. Friendship as well, also very important. And of course, if you've had a serious illness, you realize how important health is, right? If you've been in very extreme poverty at times in your life, you also realize how important having our daily necessities is. Those things are very important, but what's the most important thing? Well, God tells us in His Word that the most important thing in life is really not any of those earthly, physical things, as important as they are and as wonderful a blessing from God as they are when He gives them to us in our lives. But the most important thing in life is that during this lifetime of ours, we come to know and believe in Jesus as our Savior and so be saved for eternal life. For the life of our soul and eventually our glorified body and soul, living with God forever in heaven. In His Word, God gives us the promise of heaven. He assures us that that future is ours because of what Jesus, His Son, our Savior, has done for us. It has been won completely, fully paid for by Jesus and His work on the cross. That gift of eternal life with God in heaven has been given to us by the Holy Spirit of God as He brought us to faith in Jesus as our Savior and as He keeps us growing, strengthening in that faith in Jesus. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we can say together with the Apostle Paul, as he says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, I know the one in whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. Until the day of judgment, until the day when He returns and calls us to be with Him in our true home of heaven. And so in faith, we can rejoice and we can be comfortable and confident and happy in the assurance of heaven that He has given to us. However, one great danger for us as Christians is to be too comfortable. To become complacent, to become careless and lazy in our spiritual lives. God tells us here through the Apostle Paul that we need to grow in that certainty of that perfect future that He has won for us. And so the Apostle Paul, in this reading from Philippians chapter 3, sets before us a wonderful pattern for us to imitate. He tells us that by the Spirit's power, by the grace and strength that the Holy Spirit gives us, we need to continue to do things that will strengthen it and build us up in that faith in Jesus. And we need to avoid things that will endanger our faith and harm our certainty of eternal life. And so that's what we'll be talking about this morning. We'll pray that the Holy Spirit will always keep us as children of God. Children of God who are always pressing on and striving for that goal of heaven. As we see here in this reading, as we see at other places in the Bible, the Apostle Paul uses picture language that calls to mind a runner in a race. Think about a runner running a race, that the goal, and if there's a prize at the end of the race for the winner or the top people who finish, he keeps that prize in mind as well as the goal. Those things are always the most important, the foremost things in his mind that keep him pressing on toward that finish line. And the Apostle Paul encourages us to have that same attitude, that same mindset, striving for the goal. He says in verse 14, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And of course, using the way of thinking that we commonly do, we think of heaven as being up. And so that reference to the upward call of God in Christ Jesus is the reference to God's call to heaven for us. Heaven is the goal. Heaven is the prize that God gives to us through Jesus. Living in His presence forever. In perfect peace and joy, free from all sin and sorrow and pain. Serving Him, praising Him, rejoicing forever in fellowship with Him and with fellow believers for eternity. That is the goal, the finish line that God wants us to have in mind every day of our life. He wants us to always be striving toward that goal. And not only for ourselves, running our own little race, but helping others along the way toward that goal as well. And as we see in our reading here, Paul gives us some things to think about, some things to do and not to do as we daily strive toward that goal of heaven. First, he says, don't become complacent. We see beginning with verse 12, he says, about himself, about his hope of heaven, he says, not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus also took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it yet. The same is true for us. We haven't reached heaven yet. Yes, God wonderfully tells us in His Word that we do have eternal life right now, that eternal life has already begun for us. Even though our bodies may die, our true spiritual life never ends. Because that the death of our bodies is just the transition of our life to eternal, the continuation of that eternal life when we will be there in heaven with God. But these words of the Apostle Paul encourage us to think about the fact that we haven't reached that goal yet. We haven't reached heaven yet. We shouldn't think that we've made it, that we're set. We shouldn't think that we have made it just because right now we can say that we believe in Jesus as our Savior. We shouldn't think that we have made it just because we may have had an emotional, religious experience in the past. We shouldn't think that we have made it just because we've been confirmed in a Lutheran church and we're a member of this church or another congregation that is faithful to the Word of God. We may know many facts about Jesus in the Bible. We may know all about the truth that Jesus is the true eternal Son of God, that Jesus suffered and died to pay for our sins and for the sins of the whole world, that God forgives all of the sins of everyone who believes in Him and gives them eternal life. We may know all of those facts. But even though we may have the knowledge of those facts, and even if we agree that those facts are correct, just having that knowledge in our heads does not save us. In fact, Jesus tells us that on the last day, on the day of judgment, there will be plenty of people on His left who are sentenced to hell because of their unbelief, who will say, "But Lord, we knew all about You. Why are You sending us to hell?" Don't let that happen to you. Knowledge is important. Yes, it's critically important to know what God says in His Word about how Jesus has saved us. That knowledge must not only be in our heads, must not only be knowing those facts and those details. It must also be a living, active faith in those things, a firm trust and reliance from our heart on God, on Jesus as our Savior. As God's Word tells us again and again, John chapter 3, whoever believes in Him, in Jesus, shall not perish, but have eternal life. As Jesus says in John chapter 6, the one who believes in Me has eternal life. As He says in Mark 16, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. As God tells us through the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 10, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. So God's word encourages us to daily confess our sin, to daily renew our faith in Jesus as our Savior, daily renew our determination to live for Jesus, out of thanks to Him for His salvation in everything that we do and say and think. God encourages us to use His word and sacrament faithfully, to pray that the Holy Spirit will strengthen faith in Jesus through that means of grace. God encourages us through His apostle, don't become complacent, lazy in your faith, thinking that you've already arrived and you haven't made. The Apostle Paul encourages us to keep our mind on the goal, on the prize at the end of this race of our lives. So Paul writes in verses 13 and 14 of our reading, "Forgetting the things that are behind and straining toward the things that are ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." And so again, we see that picture of a runner running the race. Must focus on the goal and the prize that are before him. He has to keep thinking to himself during that perhaps a long and grueling race, or perhaps it's a shorter race where he has to exert all of his energy to beat out his competitors, to reach that finish line. Keep thinking about the finish line, about the goal, about the prize. I want that prize. I have to make every effort. I have to try my hardest, use all my energy, draw every bit of strength that I have. Keep running harder and harder until I reach that goal. You and I must do the same thing as we strive to reach that prize of heaven. We can't get distracted by all of the things that the world has to offer us. If we turn and get distracted by those things, if we go and strive after those things, that could lead us to forget the true prize and goal that God has prepared for us. Paul encourages us in this reading to follow the example of godly Christians, of other believers that we see around us perhaps, and certainly that God has recorded for us in His Word. In verse 17 of our reading, Paul writes, "Brothers, join together in imitating me, and in paying attention to those who are walking according to the pattern we gave you." Look to those examples of whom the Bible has identified as heroes of faith. Not because they were perfect, not because they never sinned or made mistakes in their lives. Think about some of the greatest heroes of faith in the Bible. Some of the truly despicable, terrible sins that they committed. God doesn't call on us to think about them, to imitate them in those sins of theirs. To think about them and imitate them in their repentance of those sins, and their trust in God's forgiveness, their trust in God's promise of the Savior who would come in the future, or for those who lived at the time and after the time of Jesus, their trust in the fact that Jesus is that Savior that God had promised to send. Imitate that faith of theirs. Imitate their faithfulness in using God's word and His sacraments. Imitate their use of the gifts that God had given to them individually to serve God and to serve other people around them. Imitate their faithful testimony to the good news of salvation through Jesus. Imitate their prayer, their hard work, their loving care for the needs of those around them. And then Paul also warns about the examples to avoid. In verses 18 and 19 of Philippians chapter 3, he says, "Be sure, many walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. I told you about them often, and now I am saying it while weeping. Their end is destruction. Their God is their appetite, and their glory is in their shame. They are thinking only about earthly." Now, it seems here that Paul is talking about people who had been Christians, maybe people who had been members of, of the Christian church at Philippi with the other believers to whom he was writing, or certainly at least other believers that Paul knew from other of the Christian churches throughout the Middle East and Europe, who at one point in their lives had believed that Jesus was their Savior. Maybe at this time they thought they still were believers. Apparently their faith had changed from a heart reliance on God and on Jesus as their Savior to simply a head knowledge of those facts and data from the Bible. Now, because they had drifted away from that heart reliance on Jesus as their Savior, now Paul says they are actually enemies of the cross of Christ. And perhaps they didn't even know that that change had happened in their heart. But Paul says, don't follow their example. Really, it can be a strong temptation for us to be distracted and to follow that kind of example. The lifestyle of those people who have turned away from God's word and his will can seem very attractive. It seems very enjoyable. But it isn't. Look at what they have actually become. What the Apostle Paul says about them. He says their God is their head, their stomach, what they want for themselves, whatever gives them satisfaction. And he says their glory is not in doing what God wants, what brings God glory, but their glory instead is in their shame, glory in their own sinful actions and living. Their minds are filled only with earthly things. Paul warns that as such, they can't win the race. They cannot reach that goal of heaven. The Apostle Paul says, while weeping, because he loved them, he cared for them, it's such a tragedy to see them now fallen away from faith in Jesus. He says, with weeping, their end is destruction. Don't follow their example. And then finally, Paul reminds us about where our true home is. He says, our citizenship is in heaven. He was writing to people in the city of Philippi, which was a Roman colony in Macedonia, northern Greece. And as you may have heard before from study of the Bible times, to be a Roman citizen at that time carried great privileges with it. Rome was the dominant empire of the whole of Europe and of the Middle East and northern Africa, but the peoples that they conquered did not have the privileges that the Roman citizens had and could claim. And so those people in the city of Philippi were proud of those privileges that they had as citizens of Rome. We might be similarly proud of the privileges that we have as citizens of this nation with all its freedoms and with all the true blessings that God gives to us as being citizens here with the freedoms that we have. God calls us to remember this world, this nation, even the home that we will return to eventually later today, is not our true home. We don't really belong here. We're only here because God has a plan for us, because God has work for us to do. God tells us that we are here on this earth, here in this place, because he wants us to lead others to him, to share the good news of his salvation through Jesus, to serve him and others in his kingdom. Heaven is our true home. While we are on this earth, we're simply on the way to that true home of heaven. Each day, we are one day closer to reaching that goal. And that's why we are always striving upward, heavenward, for that goal of eternity with God. And that striving, reaching that goal, it's not something that we can accomplish by our own efforts. The Holy Spirit works in us. Reaching that goal can only be accomplished by the Holy Spirit working in our hearts to lead us daily to confess our sins to lead us daily to receive and believe in the forgiveness of our sins that Jesus has won for us, to be renewed in our faith through that good news, all by the power of the Holy Spirit. Daily living out our faith. Again, having been strengthened by the power of that message about what God has done for us through Jesus. In our reading, Paul's final exhortation is that we look forward eagerly for the day when we will reach that goal and when we will receive the prize. In verse 20, he says, "We are eagerly waiting for a Savior from there, from heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ." As Jesus has assured us, he is coming and he will come back soon. We know that Jesus came the first time, so that when that final day does come, we can meet it gladly, with joy, and with confidence that it will not be a day of terror, of public exposure and humiliation because of our sins, and a public judgment and punishment by God, but it will be a day of joy, when God receives us, welcomes us into his home of heaven, to live with him. All because Jesus came already, and he lived in our place under the law, perfectly obeying all of God's commands for us, and crediting his own righteousness to us in God's sight. And he took our sins upon himself, went to the cross and suffered and died there in our place, paying the punishment that we deserve because of our sins. No matter who you are, no matter what your sins have been, no matter how many sins you have committed, God forgives each and every one of them because of what Jesus has done for you. Believe that with all your heart. Firmly trust in what Jesus has promised to you on the last day, when he will return and take you to be with him in heaven. Verse 21 of our reading. The Apostle Paul writes, "By the power that enables him to subject all things to himself, he will transform our humble bodies to be like his glorious body." That is our goal. That is the prize that we are striving for. Jesus will transform our bodies to be like his glorious body. No longer mortal, no longer sinful or sick or weak or diseased, or even dead and decayed or burned to ash, but whole, perfect, righteous, glorified, holy, with him forever. Press on for that goal, dear friends.